So we're going to look at 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. And you know, as we were singing this evening, we'll stand, that song, I'll stand, I'll worship him. And I was just thinking about it when we were singing that. You know that that only the Christians will be able to stand? Because everyone else that is not a believer shall fall before him. But you, as believers, will be able to stand because you're standing on a rock, and that rock is the mighty Lord Jesus Christ. So you will be able to stand and praise his name. Okay, chapter 2. Let's read the verses together as we go through the story of Elijah. Not all of it, but the end of his life. 2 Kings chapter 2. Did I say 1 Kings the first time? No, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass, when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they went on to Jericho. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from you, from over you today?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." Onto Jordan, yeah. But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?" Elisha said, "Please, let a double portion of your spirit be unto me." And he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken away from you, and it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up in a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." So he saw him no more, and he took hold of his clothes and tore them into two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah and had fallen from him, and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. Now when the sons of the prophets who were from Jericho saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah has rested upon Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. And they said to him, "Look now, there are 50 strong men of your servants. Please let them go and search for your master, and lest perhaps the spirit of the Lord has taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or in some valley." And he said, "You shall not send anyone." But when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, "Send them, Therefore, they sent 50 men, and they searched for 3 days, but did not find him. And when they came back to him, for he had stayed in Jericho, he said to them, "Did I not say to you, do not go?" And we'll stop there. Now, this is not the death of Elijah by the looks of it, is it? Something more than that, something better than that. We find here in verse 1, it says here, "And it came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal." Well, it's obviously a plan of the Lord from the very first verse, because it says that the Lord was planning to take him up in a whirlwind to heaven. Now, I don't think that Elijah and the prophets and Elisha knew by which way he would leave this earth, because it had never been done before. They've never seen this before. Whether the Lord would say that to them, it doesn't really say that. It just says in this first verse that this is what the Lord was planning to do when he was going to take him up in a whirlwind, which happens at the end of this portion that we read. So it's God's plan and God's will to do what he wants to do in his time with who he wants to do in his way. Now the question is, why did God choose to take Elijah and not any other prophet, for instance? Why not? Was it maybe because Elijah stood his ground against the 800 prophets of Baal, and he stood alone. He thought he was the only prophet left. In fact, he was willing to die for that reason, except for when Jezebel came after his life. Or was that enough? That the case? But really, a lot of the other prophets also stood their ground and suffered the persecution of the kings. Jeremiah was thrown in a well for some days. Who knows how long I don't know how long he was there. It says in the passage, but Jeremiah went through a lot, and he was a weeping prophet. Why would he not be raptured? Or Isaiah, who stood his ground before those kings as well. But Elijah was not chosen. And Daniel, for that matter. Daniel was a mighty prophet indeed, and he stood his ground before those kings, willing to speak out and told them his testimony and tell them the truth, that the Lord didn't choose you or whatever, and he could have been killed for saying the things that he said to some of these kings. They had that much power over people. But he chose Elijah, and it was Elijah that he had chosen to do what he chose to do. Now, in verse 2, Elijah tends here to say, "Stay here, and I'll go on to Bethel," he says to Elisha. Why did Elijah say that 3 times to Elisha? To Elisha. You get these 2 names in your head and you get crossed. But anyways, 3 times he says to Elisha, "Stay here, I'm going to go to Bethel." Then he says, "I'm going to go to Jericho, and then I'm going to go to the Jordan." And so 3 times Elisha answers the same thing. Every time he says the same thing. As the Lord lives and your soul lives, I will not leave you. So here we find that Elisha was not willing to leave the prophet Elijah. The prophets knew that Elijah was going to be taken from him. Elisha knew also. But Elisha wanted to be there as his friend and to be as the person that he had spent many years with now over the last, it doesn't really say how many years he was with him, but it was some time that had passed between the time that he's anointed to be his servant and to now. And so the two of them were crisscrossing the country, and they're speaking to kings, they're speaking to the people, and they're telling everybody the needs that they had, and there being the prophets that they were to do. And so Elisha, growing quite fond, I believe, of Elijah. Because as we learn later on, he calls him, my father, the chariots of Israel. You see, Elisha seen Elijah as a father figure to him. And you know, when you take on a mentor in your life, and you are learning from a mentor in your life, you say you take on some older man, and he's teaching you, and you're learning from him, You look to him as your father, as a father figure in your heart and in your life. And he's training you to be a better Christian. And so it's encouraging to us to know that we should be following the Lord as we learn to follow another. Paul says, follow me even as I follow Christ. And thus the saying is for us to do the same thing, to follow after the Lord. So, but with these prophets and Elijah and Elisha knowing, it's a wonderful thing to know that God shares his secrets with his people. He shares his secrets with his people. See, you and I know things that the world outside doesn't know about. It's a secret. But you know it. You know all about it. They don't know. This is falling off my head here. Okay. So one thing that we know for certain is something called the rapture. And this is kind of heading towards that, as it were. And so we're learning, as it were, from the Word of God, some of the secrets of God's given to us. But the world outside is oblivious to that. They see things happening around them, and they haven't got a clue what's going on. And they really don't give any exercise of thought that God is at work. And they really don't care. But you and I look, and we say, God is at work. Look what's going on. Look what's going on. You know? And so we know, and we have this ability because of this, the secrets of God have been revealed to you and I. Now, Elijah wasn't fearful of it, it seems. It seemed like he wanted to go it alone. But Elisha was not going to let him go through the Jordan alone. And the Jordan, if you ever listen to some of the songs, walking through the Jordan or going through the Jordan, it's a picture of death. And those songs that sing about Jordan being the picture of death may even come from this particular passage. Because it's when you go through the Jordan, it's the death of the flesh. It's also the death of a Christian, death of a saint. And so here we find that he's going through the Jordan, and he's going to go it alone. And he seems to be willing to do it alone. So why does he say to Elijah, stay here, stay here, stay here? And Elijah says, no, I'm not going to, I'm not going to, I'm not going to. Well, there's three reasons I thought of why Elijah may have asked him not to. Number one, he may have been a humble person and did not want to bring attention to himself. And being a prophet of God, I wouldn't be surprised if that would be the case, that he would not want to bring attention to himself. Go and quietly leave the scene, not bringing attention to himself. Number two, that he would think that maybe the things of heaven should not be taken lightly or even seen by men. There's no testimony that anyone saw Enoch when he disappeared, when God took him back in the seventh generation from Adam. So he may have thought that. But I think a more plausible reason for it would be this one here, and the Lord gave me this just the other night. The possibility that Elisha was testing his faithfulness to him. How faithful would he be? And he wanted to see that Elisha would be faithful to him to the end. And Elisha pulled through. I'll not leave you, he said. I will not leave you. And so he didn't have to cross the Jordan alone. And you know, there's nothing worse than having to go to your death alone. My wife and I had two children, and we lost both of them in our arms. But I'll tell you, when they were sick and in the hospital at 6 years old and 9 years old, every time that they went to sleep, we put them to sleep. And when they woke up in the morning, the first face they saw was my wife or myself. My wife was very dear to the kids, and she never let them ever be alone, sick kids, hospital, wherever we were. So when they died, they were still in our presence, and they died right in our arms, and exactly where we wanted them to be. And that's the way it should be, because no child should ever have to die alone. And thus, we too should never have to die alone. My brother was taking care of an individual. It's an older man. He was in his late 80s, I guess, or something. And he had no relatives to take care of him. And he was living over by the bus depot. at that time, one of those upstairs places in there, somewhere, some building there. And my brother saw him walking one day, and he started talking to him, and he shared with him, and he says, "Do you have anybody to help you?" And he said, "No, I don't." He says, "Well, let me see where you live." So he brought him up there, and his place is a disaster area. So my brother cleaned up his place, and then every day he went and made supper for him, because he had almost burned the house down. He had burned his food, left it on the burner, and went and watched TV and forgot about it. Almost killed himself. But sadly to say, he died alone. One day, my brother came there, and there was nobody. My brother found him, because nobody ever visited him. Nobody. And so when my brother buried him, he asked the four of us, there's four boys in my mother's family, the four of us, my brother being the oldest, and then he asked, "Can you guys be pallbearers?" So there's only the four of us. We were there, nobody else at that funeral. So it should be that no one should ever have to die, go through the veil of death or the river of Jordan, as it were, alone. Especially as believers, anyways. So Elisha proved to be a good and faithful man. Now, the prophets in verse 5, they said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take Elisha away from you today?" And he kept saying, "Be silent." It may be that those words tugged at his heart. That he may have been, he didn't want to talk about that. Didn't want to. He knew what the Lord was going to do. And so it may have tugged at his heart. You know, we read these passages, they don't give us any emotions. There's no, you have to think about it. You have to look at what it's saying. This guy loved Elijah. He grew up with him for many of his years. He took him on. And so he learned to love Elijah. And now they're talking about his death. He's going to be gone. And then verse 7, it says that there were 50, it says 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. And I thought about that for a little while. Why is that there's 50 of them? Why? Why 50? There's the reason. God never gives us anything, a number, or anything like that for nothing. There's a reason behind it. Well, you know what the number 50 stands for? 50 always stands for the working of the Holy Spirit. It is the coming of the Holy Spirit. It is the driving of the Holy Spirit. He said, "If there are 50 in the city, I will not that are righteous, I will not destroy it." 50 righteous, 50 people filled with the Spirit of God, 50 people living in the Spirit of God. "I will not destroy the city," he told Abraham. And the day of Pentecost, it was 50 days after the Passover. 50 days after the Passover, the Holy Spirit came with a mighty rushing wind, and they heard this tempest of the wind blowing through the streets of the city, and they all ran to see what that was about. It was the Holy Spirit. And so we see here in this passage that a whirlwind took Elijah away. So the Spirit of God's doing his work. And 50 men, so it seems that the 50 was an inkling of, or pushing forward of what was going to happen. So we can look back and say, that was the working of the Holy Spirit. So we can see through these numbers what was going on. It's the working of the Holy Spirit as he came and he drew away Elijah into heaven. And Pentecost, of course, means 50, so that's also with that. In verse 8, it says that they passed over on dry ground. Now, I thought that was pretty neat, too. What's the purpose behind that? Well, my thoughts went to Moses crossing the Red Sea. And he took his staff and he struck the water. And the people didn't have a clue what was going on. Nobody knew what was going to happen. Oh, we're going to die. And the waters opened up and they went across. And then Jericho was going to be taken over by Joshua. And he came to that place and they had to cross the Jordan. And so he told the priests, he says, "You guys grab the Ark of the Covenant and go into the river." And they didn't know what he was going to do. He went into the river. As their feet touched the water went this way and that way. And they went across, and Israel, they stood in the water, these guys stood there, and then the water disappeared. And they had dry ground. A million or two million people crossed the Jordan River on dry ground. And then now Elijah takes his mantle and strikes the water, and again, it comes across in dry ground. Now, had we had Moses' staff, and we had the ark, and we had Elijah's mantle, we'd all revere that as relics, you know, we'd be worshiping them, and this is what happened. You know, that's the very stick that Moses struck the water with, and this is the very ark that they crossed over, and we don't have those things because it wasn't those things that did it. It wasn't Elijah's mantle that did it. It was the God behind those things that did it, you see. By faith, Elijah struck the water, and he did it for a reason. Well, and maybe Elijah was looking at what he's going to do with that. You know, slapping the water. What's the dumb thing to do? Oh, didn't think that was going to happen. You know, and the water opened up. Because by faith, he acted faith. And so it is by faith that we move and God responds, you see. So it's only by faith. And it's only God who does it. And he does it on his will. In verse 9, it says here that they crossed over and they're standing there, and Elisha said, I gotta give my last will and testimony. He says to him, he says, what should I do for you? His last words to Elisha. What should I do for you? And he says, let me have a double portion of your spirit. And that's common, by the way, for the firstborn son to get a double portion of his father's goods. And see, he sees him as his father. Maybe he's the only son of Elijah, obviously. And so Elijah said, well, you're asking for a difficult thing here. But he said, he asked for a double portion of the Spirit of God. And so he says, I'll tell you this. He says, if you see me go, then it'll be an answer to you that you have received a double portion. Now, God is able, through the whirlwind, come down, this whirlwind, put some dust in his eyes, and I can't see, you know, and look up, and Elijah should be gone, not see a thing. So God can do that. He can blank out the whole thing and say, oh, no, you're not going to get a double portion. God still went through and chose Elijah's heart, because Elijah's heart was to have more of the Spirit of God. You know that we're encouraged to have more of the Spirit of God? He says, I tell you, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, but earnestly desire the best gifts. Earnestly desire the best gifts. Seek after the Spirit of God. Seek him with all of your heart. Ask for more of the Spirit of God. Learn more from him. Now, I'm not just talking to you. I'm talking to myself here, too. I need to do this, too. I need to really get on fire here for the Lord. He said, you are asking a hard thing. So he saw it, and it was God's will that he saw it. And he right away, what does that do to Elisha? Now, Elisha's sitting there, and he sees it happen, and he sees this cloak fall down. I read one commentary. He says, you'll notice that Elijah did not cast his body off. He's getting a new one. But the thing is, we're not getting a new one. We're getting this one changed. So he kept that body because God was going to exchange it and make it into something new. And that's what he's going to do to us. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we shall all be changed. This mortal shall put on immortality. So we're going to be changed. This body is going to be changed over to something new. That little cocoon that we are right now is going to blossom into a big, huge tree or whatever, butterfly, as it were. Now, he sees him. Oh, yeah, I was going to say that about that. He saw it, and what would that do to his faith? God has answered my prayer. That's the faithfulness of God. That is the grace of God. Why did he do that? Because the people and the nation of Israel had a guard, and the guard was Elijah. He was holding back the storm of wickedness that was coming upon the land of Israel. He killed the 800 priests of Baal. He was being attacked by Jezebel. God said, don't worry about her. And he came back into the land. He continued to be a testimony. But he needed a new guard. There had to be someone else to carry on the baton. And that's what he wanted to do, carry on the baton. And he kept on. And he took up the cloak, and he went on. And do you know, too, that Elisha was chosen by Elijah when Elisha was plowing in the field, right? And he was plowing in the field, walking along, and Elijah comes up from behind him, and what did he do? Anybody remember? He put his cloak on his back. He took his cloak off and put it on his back. It was a sign, you're mine. Follow me. He didn't say anything to him. Just put it on him. And then Elisha knew right away, let me go and say goodbye to kiss my mother and father. He knew right away. And he killed his 12 oxen. He burned all the wood that was on them and made a fire and built an altar to the Lord. And he was willing to follow the Lord from that point on. And he did. Anyways, in verse 11, it says there, and it happened as they continued to talk, they continued on and talked, and suddenly the chariot appeared. But they continued to talk. And I can just see Paul speaking to the church in Troas, where he's speaking till midnight, and a guy falls out of the window. They go down there and they get him up, and Paul says his life is still in him. He heals him, and they bring him back up. And Paul spoke right through till morning. His last words to the church, to that church anyways. He never came back there again. And they mourned and wept over him and they left. But here we have Elijah giving his last words, important words, to Elisha. Maybe things like, keep it humble, keep it simple, trust the Lord, trust the Lord, trust the Lord. I don't know. But something. So he taught him as they talked. Nobody can hear, nobody knew, but only Elisha. So this is a last minute teaching from him. Then chapter, verse 11 says, Then their chariot of fire appeared with horses and fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up in the whirlwind into heaven. Now, I'm thinking, okay, come on. If I wanted to keep Elijah, I'd hang on to him. But if I'm standing there and I'm talking to Elijah and all of a sudden a couple of these horses are racing towards me, this is a whirlwind. Something like a tornado, and it's racing towards you, full blast. What are you going to do? Whoa! And you'll push each other away and let this thing go between you. And it grabbed hold of Elijah. And Elijah jumped up, ended up in that chariot. And up they went. And I'm thinking, it didn't take long. I'm thinking seconds, and this thing was out of sight. Doesn't say how long it was, but that's my rendition of the thing. And it went into a whirlwind, and up into heaven he went. I wrote down here, not slow, fast. We kind of think, oh, a wind. Oh, look at the wind. No, a whirlwind. Whirlwind is this, tornado. We call them tornadoes today. And it took off, took him up, gone. Twice in history this has happened. This time here and Enoch. Both of them left this earth without dying. And you'll know the story that when Jezebel wanted to, she said to him, to Elijah, tomorrow at this time, if you're not dead, she said she's going to get him, you know. So he ran away, you know. And he goes and he falls before the Lord. Lord, take my life. There's nobody here for you and everything else. And he said, take my life. He said, I want to die. Isn't that nice that the grace of God didn't take his life? Because God now honors him by making him live forever and never dying. Never. Isn't that amazing? This is our God. This is his love for Elijah. A prophet who stood his ground alone. It's pretty hard to do that. I mean, to say he's going to call down fire from heaven, and what if God didn't answer him? It'd be a scary thing, you know? My brother was working in the steel plant, and there's a Muslim guy, and he says, I trust in my God. He says, I could go up the roof of this building, I would jump off, he says, and I trust him that much. He says, you come up there, you do that with me, if you do, I will. I will do it, he says. And my brother says, oh, no, I'm not going to put my God to the test. I won't test my God that way. Can't do that. I won't jump off the building just to prove that God exists. So, but Elijah took the Lord at his word. And then, like I was mentioning, that Elijah and Enoch were two people who were raised up. Well, the Spirit also says there's a coming day in Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. It says here, come up here. He heard a voice like a trumpet saying to him, to John the Apostle, come up here, and I will show you things that that must take place after this. Now listen to this word. Immediately, I was in the Spirit, and behold, what are you going to see the first second after the rapture? What are you going to see? You're going to see the throne of the Lord. He says, and immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one who sat on it. If that's not the rapture, I don't know what is. So here we see that. And then in Malachi, it says in verse chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, so a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. And they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on that day when I make up my jewels, and I will separate them. Oh, excuse me. I will spare them, rather, as a man spares his own son who serves him. I will spare them. I will pick my jewels, and I will gather them, and I will spare them. Spare them what? Spare them this life. Spare them from trials. Spare them from whatever he chooses to spare them from. And that I take as being he's going to spare us from this world. He said, my father, in verse 12, the chariots of Israel. Here he saw his father leave, as it were. And he cried out, my father. And he tore his clothes in two, it says. That kind of stuck with me. And I wonder, what is he saying there, saying that for? He tore his clothes in two. Well, that was a sign of grief to the Jews. When a Jew was grieved of someone who died or something happened, they would rip their clothes. And so he ripped his clothes because now he knows the matter has happened. Elijah is gone and he's alone. He's left behind. And so he tore his clothes. But then after that, he took up the mantle and he walked across the water. He struck the water. Elijah ended his ministry by the act of striking and parting the water with his cloak. Elisha began his ministry with the same mantle, striking the water and crossing into Israel. From the east to the west he came. They went from west to east, and now he's coming back into the land of Israel to be the guard for the children of Israel. You remember too that Elisha, do you remember the prophet that he had, the Syrians came into the land, and the Syrian wanted to get healed. And I think the guy's name was Gene or whatever his name was. Anybody know the name? I can't remember his name. I should have looked that up. Elisha's servant. Gehazi, yes. And anyways, the prophet told him to go and dip seven times in the water, and he took off. But he had offered Elisha clothing and gold and so forth. And no, nothing unto the Lord. He says, go. But Kenny, how do you say?
Gehazi.
He was a thirsty man for money and clothing, I guess. But he went after him. He says, oh, my, the prophet has changed his mind. So he took all the stuff back. But anyways, maybe I'm crossing stories here. No, that's not it. Before that, there was another story where they were in the house. And army surrounded them. And that's what it was. And he says, he prayed, asked for the Lord to open his eyes. And go look, he says. He said, aren't you afraid? He said, go look. And he looked outside, and there was chariots of fire all around Elisha. So Elisha did not forget who he had on his side. And they went to go look for him, for Elijah, at the end of the story. They sent the 50 men out for 3 days. They couldn't find him. They came back. They couldn't find him. He said, I told you that wouldn't happen. When the rapture happens, Don't you think for a second that people will go out looking for you? They'll go looking for you. They're going to try and find you. Your relatives that aren't saved, and they're going to try and find you. They're going to think that aliens have come and taken you away. And so it's the same sort of thing all over again. But this is what the Lord has done. And thank God that he revealed it to us, these secrets of God. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we bow before you, thanking you for your grace and your love. Thank you for loving Elijah, that he wanted to die, and Lord, you took him through that, and you brought him to the other end where he thought he would die, but he was taken up into heaven in a mighty way. Lord, what a wonderful God you are. What a wonderful plan you have, that you have chosen even some of us in this room that will be raptured. We don't know if all of us will be there or not. We don't know when it'll be. We know that it will happen sometime in the future. But Lord, we're looking forward to that day when we'll stand before you. We'll be able to stand before you. And we'll worship you. We'll give you the praise that's all yours, Lord. There's nothing in us, nothing at all, just you. And so we thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your good holy word that you've given to us to encourage us to look up and to take hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray and give thanks. Amen.